We come to you at this moment. And I know we don't have to come to a particular place at a particular time, because you're with us at all times if we simply acknowledge you. But Lord, we've set aside this time as what we call the Sabbath day. And Lord, we seek to focus on you. We seek to give you worship. And so, Lord, as we do that, I know that Satan would love to have things around us that would distract us from being all that you desire us to be right now. But I ask right now, and Lord, I start with myself. Lord, there are things already that I know in my mind and my heart that can and are distracting me from being who you want me to be in this moment. So I ask that you take those away and that you just allow me of being able to be a complete vessel used by you. And Lord, I pray the same for each person here. I pray that we'll be open. I pray that distractions will be pulled aside. I pray that we'll have open minds, open hearts, open souls to receive what you have to give. And so that in turn, we may be able to give ourselves in a way that's worthy of what you deserve. This prayer I ask in your Son, Jesus' name. It's a little bit challenging for me, I'm just going to be honest, to preach the sermon I'm going to preach today. So I'm just going to be up front and tell you. But then from there, I want you to go with me to the place I believe God wants us to go. There are a lot of people in our church. There are a lot of people in our community, more than usual that I'm aware of, that are struggling right now, that are having a hard time physically, emotionally, spiritually, with families, with job situations. And it's a challenge. And we as the body of Christ are to be a part of helping that. And we are going to do that. We're in the midst of doing that right now. But sometimes Satan can take those things, and instead of us simply being who God wants us to be, Satan begins to let those things pull us down. Well, today, God's placed before us a message that I believe isn't something to ignore the challenges that are going on, but help us to see that there's more in the midst of what's happening. And so I'm talking today about what it is to have a mountaintop experience. And we're going to look at three mountaintop experiences. We're going to look at the two mountaintop experiences that Catherine and Alex just read about. But then I also want us to talk about our own mountaintop experience. But first of all, what is a mountaintop experience? How do we really define that? What are we really talking about? I believe a mountaintop experience, the way I understand it, the way I think it's in Scripture today, is talking about a defining moment. Something that is very significant, that more than likely in your life, you're never going to forget the details of what happened in that moment. It's almost entirely a positive experience, although we may talk in a moment how maybe not every nuance, but overall it's a very positive experience. But then also, a mountaintop experience is not a place that we stay. Although at times we might want to. We get up there, it feels so good, it's so great, it's so wonderful. But it's not a place that we're intended to stay for a long period of time. So I want to talk about our mountaintop experiences. And if we had more time, I would ask you what some of yours are. I just want to give a few examples. Some of mine as a teenager were spent here in Lynchburg. My church, my youth at First Crossroad Baptist Church, went every year on a youth retreat to Eagle Iron. And it was up on a little mountain. But for me, it was truly a mountaintop experience. And I can still remember some of the chairs I sat in, some of the conversations I had, some of the people I met, as though it was yesterday. And it had a true impact on my spiritual growth and my faith. Another place, again, it happened to be up on a mountain. Mountaintop experiences don't have to happen on a mountain, but in my life I found out that mountains really help, so I'm glad I live in Nelson County. But another defining moment in my life happened on Copper Mountain in Colorado. And it was a time when I was seeking where God wanted me to be with my family in terms of my job, my career. And God spoke very plainly and clearly, I think because I was able to listen. Mission trips have been some of my mountaintop experiences. And then there's one for me that's interesting. Here lately, God has given me great mountaintop experiences in the time between Christmas and New Year's. And I can't explain it. It's happened in the past few years, though. I guess we've come through Christmas leading up to it, and we have our Christmas Eve service and Christmas Day celebrations, and maybe we're looking towards the new year, but there's just a time there when there's a sense of release, and I've felt God talking to me in some ways and been some places that just made a difference in my life. So I tell you that not to talk so much about me, but to challenge you to think about how and when there may be some mountaintop experiences in your life. But I also want to say that sometimes we go up and down the mountains in life without taking time to have the experience God wants us to have. And that's what I don't want us to miss. That's why I want to spend time where we're going to today. You see, as believers, I believe God takes us on a journey through life that He intends for each and every one of us to experience mountaintop experiences on a fairly regular basis. And so I want to discover that. I want to look into that. I want to look at the scriptures today and see what that means, what it's talking about. So as we do, we're going to start with Moses in Exodus. And if you want to turn back to that scripture, it's Exodus chapter 24, and I'll be beginning with verse 12 and just kind of going verse through verse about some of the things that we see there. Verse 12, it said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction.'" One of the first things God says here in this true mountaintop experience for Moses is He said, "Stay here." In other words, there was going to be a time when he was going to have to wait on the Lord. And that would be followed a time of instruction. And Moses, and not only Moses, but the people of Israel would come forth with a clear understanding of the will of God. That was a part of this particular mountaintop experience. If we continue with verse 13, it says, "Then Moses set out with Joshua by his side." I've come to see in my life, more times than not, when I'm having a mountaintop experience, there's usually someone else alongside of me. It's usually not the same person every time. But I think there's meaning and purpose in that. You see, God desires those mountaintop experiences for us. And when we share those, we're sharing them with God. But if there's someone else along for that experience as well, there's a reason for that. And I think we may need to give attention to it. Who is with you and why as you go? If you look at this one, it was an opportunity. I think Moses probably had a pretty good idea at this point that Joshua was going to follow him in leadership. So did it not make sense that Moses would say to Joshua, "Come with me up the mountain"? And so Joshua had an experience. And the people of Israel actually are sharing the experience as well. They're just down below, but they're going to experience something in a minute that's going to be pretty powerful. But Joshua got lifted up to another level and went at least part the way up the mountain with Moses. And we don't know all of what was said, but there had to be an experience there. That's what was here. I want to suggest that in those mountaintop experiences, sometimes it can have to do with leadership. Sometimes it may be evangelism. Now, I don't like the word evangelism because it sounds too churchy and religious. But basically what it means is there are times that you're doing something in life that God is making a difference in your life in a way you can get excited about it and it's genuine. And usually it's not sitting down with your Bible quoting three or four chapters and telling somebody about how great and wonderful you are. It's God actively doing something in your life that excites you with passion that can't be held back. And when that happens, and there's someone else alongside of you that's seeing that and experiencing that, that's the greatest type of evangelism, which is really just sharing who God is in your life with someone else. And when you're having one of those mountaintop experiences, it's so easy to do that. if we simply recognize the opportunity and who God puts beside us. The mountaintop experiences are not only about us sometimes, but the people that we're with. Finally, I think that mountaintop experiences can a lot of times provide clarity of relationship with the person that we're with. I want to really quickly, I'll try to make this quick, and maybe it's a good thing Christy left the room. I think she left the room. Because this one's about her and me. When one of my mountaintop experiences, and I think many of you in this room probably had it, was when my boys were born. When Caleb and Noah came into this world. And as a expectant dad, I was excited. But I was also excited spiritually, and I was prayerful, and I was saying, God, I just thank you for this. And you know, life couldn't get any better right now. And in my head, I had this fairy tale picture of now I was going to have these two beautiful boys and my wife, and we're going to live in this home, and we're just going to love all over each other, and things are going to be wonderful, and we don't have any problems. And I turned around, and a month or two after my boys were born, I was disappointed. I loved my boys, but to tell you the truth, I wasn't sure I knew who my wife was anymore. I hadn't spent the type of quality time with her, even in the same room sometimes, because we were running, taking care of different things, trying to figure this parenting thing out. And then as I began trying to pray, I realized I wasn't where I thought I was going to be with God either. And so this thing that was supposed to be a mountaintop experience all of a sudden was a challenge. And I said, God, this doesn't make sense. And so then I started feeling guilty about myself. I'm not the husband I'm supposed to be. I'm not the dad I'm supposed to be. I'm a pastor, and I'm not even relating to God the way I'm supposed to be. And this is supposed to be one of the most joyful times of my life. It was hard. But it was in that time that I really formed some clarity in understanding what God was saying. Because you see, what I was trying to do was do everything the way I'd always done it. In fact, I went to a spiritual advisor, a Christian counselor. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm doing worse with my quiet time and spending time with God than I ever have. And I don't feel like I'm doing what I need to with my boys. When I'm trying to spend time with God, I feel I'm neglecting them. When I'm spending time with them, I'm neglecting God. And she said, well, how have you been doing your quiet time? And I told her, basically like I always had all my life. She said, Greg, your life is different now. Did God ever tell you? Does he say anywhere in Scripture that we can see who he is through our children? I said, yes, of course. I can tell you where the Scripture is. He said, do you think you always have to spend your quality time, your God time, without your children? And so I began at that young age trying to figure out how I could spend time with my children and God at the same time and not feeling like I had to do it the way I'd always done it. Then I began having conversations with Christy that were different. And so I came out, not with my fairy tale understanding, but with a better understanding of where God wanted me to be. So those mountaintop experiences can be a clarification of relationship. It can be a sense of evangelism, a passing on of leadership. We move on to verse 14. It says, he said to the elders, wait here until I come back. Aaron and Hur are with you. And why is he saying Aaron and Hur are with you? What is he saying may happen there? What did he say? What's happening in that scripture? Why is it important that he points out that he's leaving Aaron and Hur? Settle disputes. Moses is going up a mountain, and he's already knowing that there's a possibility that these Israelites there are going to get into a fuss. You think he's had some history of that? So he, being the leader that he was, said, I'm leaving. If there's a dispute, if there are things you're struggling with, they can take care of this. And I'm going up the mountain, and I'm going to be with God where I need to be.
Moses knew there was more than likely something going to come up that somebody was going to want him to deal with, but he was proactive about it. I want to suggest there are times that we have these mountaintop experiences. There are things we're in the middle of, but we let the littlest things disrupt them. That was honestly what I was praying a little bit about as I led into the prayer this morning, because there are things on my mind that can pull me away from where I need to be at times. It can be as simple as a cell phone, an email, thinking about what's on your calendar. But Moses gave us an example. He said, look, for the next little while, this isn't my problem. Aaron and Hur are here to take care of that. I'm going up here. They're the ones that'll take care of it. For now, there are times we need to do that in life. You know, one of the things that I figured out when I'm really going to give my wife quality time, those of you who are in our five love languages class, you know that I figured out that that's one of her love languages. I figured out things go a lot better on our occasional dates now when we do get them, when I simply choose to leave my cell phone in the car when we go on our date. And you know, I didn't used to do that. You know, I'm a pastor. Somebody might get sick. There might be a problem. You know what? It kept going on and on to where I think I almost convinced myself that it's possible that there could be a problem so big that if I couldn't answer, the world might come to an end. That's not true. So for an hour or so, I can completely set my phone aside and focus on that. And there are times we need to do that when God has something for us as well. We need to set aside those things that can distract us and be willing to wait on Him. If we continue to look, he went on in verse 14. You'll see where he said, what went on for 6 days, there was a quiet presence of the Lord. Then on the seventh day, God spoke. I think of Bob Umbarger when I started working on this part of my message. You see, there are times God doesn't respond immediately. And there's a sense of quiet preparation. And it's not just Bob. I think it's a human thing a lot of times too. It, particularly in the United States, we're uncomfortable with silence. We're uncomfortable with what seems to be nothing happening. But it says here that Moses went up, and for not 6 minutes, not for 6 hours, but for 6 days, he just waited. God told him to go up the mountain. He went up the mountain and waited there for 6 days. I don't know that God's going to call us at this point. He may. I don't know. But there are times that God calls us, and he wants to know that he's got our attention and that we're focused on him. Because you see, I think it's different if God says, I have something I want to say to you, and you go up and you say, okay, here I am, God, what am I going to do? There's that sense of what, okay, there's a list, and now whatever he's going to tell us, we're going to go, then we're going to go take care of it. That's not what God wants. God wants a relationship. And sometimes we need to pause long enough and breathe, and maybe even get a little bit uncomfortable so that we can really hear and receive what God wants to tell us in the way he wants us to receive. God didn't just want to give Moses instruction. God didn't want to just give him the Ten Commandments. God wanted to commune with Moses, wanted to spend time with Moses, wanted to relate to Moses in a way that it was going to make a difference when he came back and shared what he was going to share with the people of Israel, when he was going to face the struggles he was going to face, because it wasn't just that list or a few minutes of being with God. He was never going to forget those 40 days he spent with God. I don't know everything that happened with Moses, but I tell you, it was life-changing. God desires us to have life-changing mountaintop experiences that he is at the center of. And at times, as I've said before, we simply go up the mountain and down the mountain and never had the experience, and all we are is tired and maybe had a 5 minutes of looking out saying that's a beautiful sunrise or sunset, and we miss the mountaintop experience. And when we miss that, we miss so much of what God wants to bless us with. So one of the questions today, are you willing to respond to God's call to commune with him? This leads us to the transfiguration, which comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. This one I'm going to go through a little more quickly, but what I really want you to see is the parallels here. It starts off, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. There was, if you go back and look at the previous chapter, in chapter 16, you'll see there was some pretty big stuff happening. Then it says 6 days later. Again, there seemed to be a waiting period. In some of the theological explanations I read, it's like there was a pause in the sense of what Jesus' purpose was for the church. So for 6 days, there seems to be nothing. And then Jesus decides to do this. So again, there was a sense of waiting. And again, even in that same verse, it says, Peter, James, and John went with him. Again, there were people to share this mountaintop experience together. The purpose for most every mountaintop experience is different. In this one, their purpose was to experience the glory of God. Here it is. There He, being Christ, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. What would you think if that happened? You went up a mountain and this happened with you? I'm thinking these three guys that went up there, their lives were changed, and they were changed forever because they were obedient and listened to what Jesus had to say. And it wasn't just Jesus, because if you look again, what happened in verse 5? While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So two mountaintop experiences. In both of them, there was a time of waiting. In both of them, people shared the experience together. In both of them, God spoke. I believe this has something to say to us about our mountaintop experiences. And think about it. When is a time you've had a mountaintop experience? I expect all of us have. Maybe some of us, it's been more recent. Maybe some of us, it's been further in our past. But I believe all of us have also probably missed mountaintop experiences that God has in store for us. And yes, we're struggling right now. There are a lot of people that are having a hard time. But the mountaintop experiences are the times like that 40 days of communing with Moses that I believe God gives us so much, blesses us in such ways at that time. It then enables us when we're down in the valleys, when we're with people who are struggling, when we're with people who are hurting, and we don't have the answers, we can go back in our minds to that place that made such a difference in our lives and pull from what God gave us at that point. And it enables us to be who God wants us to be in the valley because we listened and communed the way God wanted us to on the mountain. And there are times that Satan wants to convince us that all we're doing is trudging through the valley. And yes, we are in the valley more than we're on the mountains. But the mountains are there and the mountains are glorious. And we're to take advantage of that and recognize when God is offering that. So, here are my questions. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait on a mountaintop experience that God has promised you? Because it's probably going to mean some sacrifices. It may mean carving out more time than you think you have. It's probably going to mean putting aside some distractions. It may mean changing your routine. Because mountaintop experiences are just that. They're mountaintop experiences that change the way you live your life. Are you willing to wait for them? What might be the purpose? I think I can narrow it to two. One, it's either instruction. How many of you want to know God's will? I believe at least half of the mountaintop experiences enable you to know God's will more clearly. And sometimes we think we're so busy doing what we think we need to do for God that we don't take time to really hear God to do what God really wants us to be doing. So that's one thing. If you really want to know the will of God, we need to take time to have those experiences that He seeks to give us. Then the other one is just worship. When I first came here, the first year I was here, I preached a sermon and I asked people to move out of their pews. Every single person was asked at the end of the service to move out of their pew, and I asked them to go to one of three different places based on whether they felt like the thing they needed more at this moment was to be connected directly to God, to be focused on the community of believers within Woodland to have relationship there, or whether it was to connect outside the community, outside of the church, into the community, the state, the world, and beyond with missions and other things like that to be able to serve. And almost, well, I'd say at least 90% of people came up to the front saying, what we need most is to be connected to God right now. This blew me away, and we spent the next year focusing on that. And conversations I've had, I think that's a place that we are right now. I think people are yearning to be more close to God. And so mountaintop experiences, I believe, so often are about worship. But to do that worship in that way, we got to put away the distractions, and we've got to be willing to give God what God deserves. So, are you willing to do that? Finally, what does it take to hear the voice of God? Because both of these mountaintop experiences, God spoke. I believe God speaks to us every day, even when it's not the mountaintop experiences. But when they are the mountaintop experiences, it's even that much more powerful. What would your response be? What does God expect from you? I don't know if God just sees fit to bless me by allowing me to be in Nelson County, to be so close to the mountains, or if He knows I just need that type of constant reminder so that I don't miss the opportunities that He wants to give me. But regardless, I don't care. I'm thankful I'm here. And I'm thankful for the mountaintop of experiences I have. And I believe those mountaintop experiences help me to be more the person God wants me to be, not only on the mountain, but in the valley as well. And it makes life so much more meaningful, so much more purposeful. And we can feel more connected to God throughout the journey of life. So I ask you today, where are you? Are you in the valley? Are you climbing the mountain? Are you at the top of the mountain? Are you coming back down off the mountain? Wherever you are, that's great. Celebrate that. But just pay attention to where God is. And don't miss those mountaintop experiences God wants to bless you with. They're over and over and over in Scripture. And they're to be lived out by every believer. If you're not a believer today, I'm going to ask our praise team to come up. If you're not a believer today, I beg of you to have that conversation. I would love to. I will turn my Sunday school class over to Bob and Matt. They'll take care of it, and I'll spend an hour talking to you and celebrating with you what it is that God wants to do in your life. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And you may have had some great times, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have never, ever truly had a mountaintop experience. And if you come and we have that conversation, it can start today. I'd love to be a part of it. So, and it doesn't have to be me. Anyone that you know that has that relationship, and you know who they are because you can see it, you can have it with them as well. The altar's open. Come and pray, share challenges, celebrate what God's doing in your life. Give Him the glory today as we stand together and sing the servant song.
13, we will be singing all three verses. Again, it's 6:13.